Let us begin the service by singing number 171. 171. They might set fast the mountain strength, girth the evermore, to calm the raging people, ragging people, and still the ocean's roar. Number 171. First, we read to you Articles 17 and 18 of the Canons of Dort, page 40. 17 and 18. Since we are to judge of the will of God from His word, which testifies that the children of believers are holy not by nature, but in virtue of the covenant of grace, in which they, together with the parents, are comprehended, godly parents have no reason to doubt of the election and salvation of the children whom it pleases God to call out of his life in their infancy. To those who murmur at the free grace of election and just severity of reprobation, we answer with the apostle, nay, but O men, who art thou that repliest against God? Romans 9, verse 30, and quote the language of our Savior. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Matthew 20, verse 15, and therefore, with holy adoration of these mysteries, we exclaim in the words of the apostle, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Further, we read to you out of God's holy word, prophet Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, the first part. Ezekiel, verse 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house to towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. And then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me to the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even to Enilim, that they shall be a place to spread forth nets. The fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the merry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because the waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaves thereof for medicine. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of heaven and of earth, almighty, all-knowing, and omnipresent, thou knowest all our needs and all our wants, which are more than the hairs of our head. We are privileged for the third time in this Sabbath day to enter into thy courts, to call upon thy name and to hear the word of truth, law and gospel, life and death, out of thy precious word. That it may please thee, Lord, let thyself not be unwitness, but graciously come in our heart and in our midst with irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it is the Lord who only can give the increase. We are all dependent from thee in speaking and in hearing. We have nothing of ourselves, but there is a fullness with thee, O Lord, that our emptiness may be filled out of thy fullness with grace for grace. Made us in this evening receptive for thy word and testimony, enlighten thy servant again in that heavy task that lays upon his shoulder. Lord, we have no knowledge of ourselves, no knowledge in the scriptures, no insight in it at all, unless that it is given us from above. And where thy hand has strengthened us before, Lord, will also in this evening give us an opening, liberty and freedom to proclaim that everlasting gospel as it is in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. That the honor of the Lord may fill our heart and the love of Christ constrains us, and that we bring out the way of salvation in Christ Jesus as it is founded and bound based on thy word and testimony and the experience and practice of thy people here in thy church. Look upon us together, give Aaron's and hers at our right and left, make the task easy for us, and give us together that we find all our delight in thee. That is last evening that it was in the favor of the Lord, that sinners be converted, false grounds uncovered, and that thy people be built up in their most holy faith, and that they receive an undeserved blessing for their soul, because that is where they are looking for, they cannot do without it. And it is only the light of thy countenance that can give peace and joy in the hearts of thy children. Remember all the gatherings of thy people where thy word shall be read, or thy word shall be preached in this evening. Lord, come graciously in the midst of them. Bless thy word among the heathens and Jewish people and nations, over the length and over the breadth of the earth. Remember our boys and young men in the service, where that they are, we commend them all at thy throne. Guide and protect them in all their ways, outwardly and inwardly. Widows and orphans and widows, strengthen them with all those who are in the hospitals and institutions. We commend them at thy throne, young and old, great and small. Lord, restore the bodies, give them back to the dear families and relatives, and supply all the needs in our families, in our church, in this world, and in our heart especially. Forgive our sins and bless us with the blessings of thy covenant, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 296. Your offering will be taken first for our church and afterwards for our school. Number 296. The springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land, and what follows 296. Thank you. beloved congregation, there is in the heart of every man in this world a longing for satisfaction and for rest. In paradise, in a state of innocency, there was satisfaction and there was rest. But of course, we have lost it all where we have separated ourselves from the fountain and from the source of all happiness. After our fall in Adam, there is no more satisfaction, and there is no more rest. You see sometime on some pictures streams who are running through the mountains or to the level grounds. And then at first, most of the time, those streams are so broad. But when you are looking to the end of it, then those mountain streams, they become smaller and smaller, and finally you see no more water because it came to an end. We have here in this country, in several places, beautiful views. Sometime by traveling, especially by car, then it cannot be different, or it is drawing your attention that you must say, how beautiful and how great is the Lord, and unsearchable in all his ways and finding out. But what I mentioned there, that is now an emblem of what we find back in our life. Because to give it up, entirely in our life, to expect it from this world, then the Lord himself have to do it. He have to make an end to it by his almighty and irresistible power. The Lord have to make an end to it in our life. and then there is an end. But by nature, then we are always looking forward for satisfaction and for rest. And if it is a looking forward in our own strength and with our own light, which is darkness, then of course we can expect nothing than disappointments in our life. Because if men would be honest and made honest in his life, everybody, in regard to the world, then he have to say dissatisfaction and unrest, that is the end. And if you read in Ecclesiastes 2, then you read there about the King Solomon, that man, of course, he was rich. What he was dreaming in the night upon, he could have it in the daytime. He made organs, and he had singers and players. That man that had everything what he wanted, everything. It is not my intention to say so much about of that in this evening, because otherwise I am too long in my sermon. But you know, even that man, he had everything what he was looking for in this world. And then the end in Ecclesiastes, that was vanity of vanity. It is all vanity. And not only that, but read it when you come home this evening, that second chapter. And then he said there, well, twice or three times, I hated my work, I hated his life in this world. That was now the end of that man that had all the riches and pleasures of this world. But finally he hated everything. And it is really young and old, great and small. It is a dissatisfaction to look for satisfaction and for rest here in this world. We never shall find it. But that satisfaction and that rest that is well found by and in the Lord. And if he visit us and he glorified his grace in our heart, then it shall be different in our life. We read in Psalm 36, by thee is the fountain of life. And I hope with the help of the Lord to explain to you where really satisfaction and rest is in our for our soul. My text for this evening, that is by the prophet Ezekiel. Afterward, chapter 47, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the side, the south side of the altar, thus far. Ezekiel was a man who was brought to Babel 11 years before the destruction of the city Jerusalem. His name signifies God's strength. He was the son of Buzi, a man whose parents and family was from the tribe of Levi, because he was out of a priestly generation. And it was in the year 599 that he was brought with the king Jojakim and many princes and noble ones of the country in captivity. Ezekiel was younger than Jeremiah. However, he had lived in the same time, and after that, Ezekiel 5 years was in Babel. Then the Lord had called him as a prophet. Jeremiah was preaching in Jerusalem, but Ezekiel, he was preaching on the shore of Kedar. That was in Babel. And it seems that he was a prophet for 22 years. Jeremiah, as well as Ezekiel, they have to bring one tidings to the people, and that was the destruction of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple. And it is well remarkable that even for that people that already was in Babel, was it unbelievable that Jerusalem and that the temple ever would be destroyed. They never could believe it. As well as the people in Jerusalem itself, they thought, no, the Lord shall never permit it and allow the enemy to bring that city and that temple to destruction. But of course, it was the calling of Jeremiah and the calling of Ezekiel to convince that people that the Lord would destroy the whole city with a sanctuary. And then the prophet Ezekiel too, he prophesied about the judgments and the punishments which the Lord would bring over the different nations who were living around about Judah and Israel. And then the last part of his book, chapter 42, 48, there that prophet, he speaks about that vision that the Lord had showed them about the temple, not the temple of Solomon, the temple of Zerubbabel, but the spiritual temple, the church of God. And what it one time shall be, when the church shall be delivered out of all their strife and out of all their afflictions. We have in Ezekiel many chapters that it is hard to explain. Sometime, of course, we have looked into some chapters, took books to find something, but most of the time, even with our explainers of the Bible, when it comes to those chapters, then it is most of the time also a disappointment. We have an English writer, Greenhill, a man, a great light in the church. 4 volumes he wrote about Ezekiel. But if you come to the last part of Ezekiel, then he tells you not so much about it. No, because even that man, he said there are so many dark things for us that it is very dangerous to give an explanation if the Lord himself give not light over it in our heart and soul. But of course, here in that 47th chapter, that is something different. That speaks about the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And now, at first of all, you read in the first part, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. We have to give that part well our attention also. People met with our wisdom and knowledge, we can do nothing. No. Smiteheld, he wrote in one of his sermons, such preaching as I was privileged to do, I have learned it on my knees, in praying and in supplicating. But shall we now say, people, with our mind? Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 2, that the natural man cannot understand the spiritual things of the Lord. And even the disciples, the Lord, he said once to them, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the gospel and the mysteries of faith. But still, time and again, they must be instructed by the Lord, and otherwise they know nothing. And even the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they must be endowed with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in such a manner and in such a way as they have done. Because they could not do that with their own mind and with their own knowledge. No. And of course, if we speak only with our mind and with that little knowledge that we have, is also little, people, also little. But there is no warmth in it, and the anointing of the Spirit is lacking. That is only there when the Lord enlightened us by His Spirit. Ezekiel, he had received many visions, and he was a man enlightened in many things by the Holy Spirit. But still the Lord, he said every time to him, Son of man, More than 90 times you find that in his book. More than 90 times, Son of Man. And why? Because that man that needed it for himself to stay on the ground. He needed that not to be too in the air, because all of us people, one as well as the other, we are all open for that. It is much easier to go in the air than to come in the dust. To come in the dust that shall never happen in our own strength. We can never do that. No, only the Lord, he can bring us there. But for our, with ourselves, that is impossible. And then another thing, even God's servants as well as God's children, they stay so dependent from the Lord all the time. The Lord, he had showed that Ezekiel so much, but then still, you read here, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. Thus, in other words, the Lord, he had to take that man, and he had to bring that man again to the door of the house. Thus, there you see now, people, at one side, the work of the Lord. Even when you were 50 years a minister or 80 years on the way to heaven, you never can do anything in your own strength and power. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And what a great blessing is it that you read that in the Bible. What a great blessing, people. And why? Because a child of God that is time and again in doubt about himself. And there are so many contradictions in their life, that they are a riddle for himself. One day and one moment, and they are standing in that light, and then the love of God is in their heart, and then the grace of the Lord that rules in their soul, and then another time they are standing totally outside of it. And then they will try to come in it, but oh, it is impossible. They find doubt in their own heart and life that they cannot do one step in their own strength. And for that reason, it is such a blessing that you read in the Song of Solomon, that is the bride, she said, draw me and I shall run after thee. And that gives such a light upon the life of God's people here in this world. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. Does you read not in that text? Afterward, I brought myself unto the door of the house. And I was self walking to the door of the house. No. But that text that said, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. Thus it was the work of the Lord. And now I come to a second thought in my text this evening. And that is this. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Ezekiel, he was brought to the door of the house, to the door of the temple.
And there he saw, he behold, and that means after that the Lord had opened his eyes, because otherwise he could not see nothing. But when the Lord had opened his eyes, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Waters. Those waters that he saw, that is referring people to the waters of the Holy Spirit. But of course, you have a right to ask me, is that now based on the Word of God? Can you prove that now with the Bible? Because that is necessary. We can. We have text in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit is promised unto the church under the emblem of water. First of all, we read in Isaiah 44, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Thus in that chapter, the Holy Spirit is compared with water. And then in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, there you read, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, that is also the Holy Spirit there. And then you read by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And then, of course, in Zechariah 12, that the Lord shall pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. And in Zechariah 13, that at that day there shall be opened a fountain for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And, of course, that is the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, we have also proofs that when Ezekiel speaks about the waters, that refers to the Holy Spirit. First of all, in John 4, in the Gospel of John, there the Lord, he said to that Samaritan woman, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And then in John 7, verse 38, there the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus, we have proofs enough that the water that the prophet saw there, that it was the Holy Spirit in his powerful work. But now another thing, that those waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. They were flowing from under the threshold of the house eastward. And what is now the meaning of under the threshold of the house eastward? That refers to the ministration of the gospel, that the Lord use his word in the midst of the church to the conversion and to the establishing of his children. We have not to expect the Lord on a beach, and we have not to expect the Lord in a tavern, but we can well expect the Lord in his house, under his word and testimony, because that is instituted by the Lord himself. That is the great value of the ministration of the gospel. The Lord himself had organized a church, and the Lord takes care for that church. And as long as the world shall stand, then that shall waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. The Lord, he obliged himself to his word and to his ordinances. But now you read for the forefront of the house towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. On the south side of the holy place, the porch in the temple of Solomon, was the altar, the burning altar. And a burning altar that refers to the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the meaning is this, that the Lord, he cannot never give us any blessing and any benefit without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that altar that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in what respect? In this respect, that the Lord, he never can deny himself. The Lord have to maintain himself. The Lord have to glorify himself in all his attributes. And now Christ, who suffered and who died on the cross of Calvary, that Christ, he had satisfied the justice of his Father. He had paid for all the sins of his people. And he himself declared in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And Watson, one of our divines, he said in one sermon that all the blessings, outwardly and inwardly, for soul and body, which we receive in our life, that they all come unto us through the channel of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder that the holy apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, that he declares there, thanks unto the Father for his unspeakable gift. Because what the Son is in the realm of nature, that is Christ for his church, the Son of Righteousness. And under his wings, there is not only a rest, but under his wings, there is also healing for a sick sinner and for a broken sinner, for people that have a broken heart and that have a contrite spirit. That is the reason, people, that we always have to preach Christ and him crucified, that we have to lay him all the time in the midst of the church as that unmovable foundation of salvation, and that we have to refer all the time to him, because he is that only name that is given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. Thus, now I come to the conclusion that Ezekiel, he saw the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. He saw there the ministration of the third person in the Holy Trinity. And then he saw the fountain of it, the source of it, and that was at the south side of the altar. It was flowing under the threshold, but it came at the south side of the altar. The Holy Spirit things to remind you in this evening in regard to the words of my text. Ezekiel, he saw the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And that last part that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Read all our outriders. You find everywhere, you find the same explanation there. By one as well as the other. Because there is no other explanation. The altar that refers to Christ. And now the necessity to know him. You know, in our days, there's all Christ in general. All Christ. They start with Christ and they end with Christ. But, three things are necessary to know. To live in comfort and to die in peace. And that is first of all, people, the knowledge of our sins. And then the knowledge of the redemption. And then the knowledge of gratitude. He slandered our churches all the time, over the whole world, and then he said he come always only with the first thing. No redemption and no gratitude, but you know better, people. You know better. Because all the three things are doctored in our church and brought forth on the pulpit. And we hope to do nothing else, people, and to follow the word of God and what the Lord has explained by our fathers in the confession that is given unto us. And the first step in regeneration, that is only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast sinned against me. But I brought out in this afternoon the necessity of three things for everybody, and that is, in the first place, the knowledge of our sins, and in the second place, the greatness of our sins, and then in the third place, the source where it all comes from, and that is our fallen Adam. We talk and we have in our religion, in our doctrine, then before that we come with Christ, we speak about Moses and we speak about Adam. Adam, that was our first father. Moses is the representative of the law. By that I bring that out, especially for our young people, that they are trained in our doctrine, in that doctrine that is delivered unto us, that they know that, and that they stay with that, and that they never forget it, because the instructions in the true doctrine that is so necessary for our coming and rising generation. What happens now when we come to the knowledge of the law? But that the result is, people, by the knowledge of the law, we become a cursed and a condemned sinner in ourselves. Keep that in your mind. Cursed and condemned. And when we come to the knowledge of Adam, what then? What is the result of that for our heart? Then the result is that we become a lost sinner. This first a cursed and a condemned sinner, but then also a lost sinner. And now for such people, Christ has such an eternal value for such people. And that is now what we have to preach in this evening. It is my intention in following sermons, if the Lord spared us, to point out to you another thing that is so necessary, the knowledge of the different steps in spiritual life and the several conditions that we have to learn personally between the Lord and our soul. I think it shall not be in vain, and that you say we don't know all the things. It is so necessary that our people is trained in it, and that they have something to stand upon and something to defend themselves towards other ones. Because, my dear friends, we are travelers to eternity, and we have one soul to lose or one soul to gain. When we die, then it is impossible. Then it is done, and it is done forever. But at this side of the grave, oh, then we can be comforted. And it is our joy and our delight to preach Christ unto you, for uncondemned, for uncursed, and for a lost sinner. Oh, there is a fullness in him. When they say inside that it is too late. When they say inside you are to heart. When they say inside you are too sinful. You have your time that lays behind you. There is no more time to be saved. But as long as we are in the world, there is a possibility to be saved, my dear friends. For the greatest of sins, oh, the Lord, he is so simple. The Lord, he is so tender. The Lord, he is so merciful. Those that fall before him, those that bow before him, those that lay at his feet, those that bemoan and bewail their sins and transgressions, they shall sooner or later, even that it was the last day of their life, but they shall experience that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washes and cleanses from all our sins. And we never can be too wretched. We never can be too sinful. We never can be too desolate. Oh, there is room. Christ, he said, all things are ready in Luke 14. And that is what I preach also in this evening to you. The waters, they came at the south side of the altar. God's justice is satisfied in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a hope is there now in for a lost and undone sinner, people. And I hope that the work of the Spirit, that the love of the Father, and that the mediatorial work of Christ may be revealed unto our heart, that the Lord graciously, young people and old people, fathers and mothers, that the Lord make room in our heart for it, that he made us acceptable for Christ and for his blood and for his righteousness. And then we shall realize, who findeth me findeth life, and we shall find in him everything to live in comfort and to die in peace. And as we start this evening, we shall have close for this Sabbath day. But as we start in this evening, there is in the heart of every man by nature a longing after satisfaction and after rest. And now, people, I declare in the name of the living God that you never shall find it in the world, that you never shall find it in yourself, that you never shall find it in the works of the law, but it is only to be found in Christ and in him crucified. There is satisfaction and there is rest for our heart, which is filled with unrest. Oh, that the Lord cut us off from this world, that he cut us off from ourselves and from everything that is outside of him, and that he leads us to the fountain of peace and of pardon and of salvation as it is in his beloved Son Jesus Christ, and that the joy of the Lord, children of God in my midst, that the joy of the Lord be the strength of our heart, and that we also in this Sabbath day, that we have received food for the week that lay before us, to walk, as you read it about that eunuch, with joy in our heart, through the desert and through the wilderness of this world. Oh, the Lord graciously remember you and your children and grandchildren in his condescending mercy, for time and for eternity. Amen. Lord, that thy word and testimony, what we have considered in this evening, that bring forth fruit and stay, and that remain with us forever and forever. Remember the whole congregation. Lord, spread out thy precious wings upon us and our children and grandchildren. Look down upon us in the week that lay before us. Remember those that hope to leave for the old fatherland, and those that hope to come back again. We commend them all at a throne with all the sick and afflicted. Also bring that child back to his parents. Remember all the other ones laying before the gates of death. Oh Lord, give not an opening before that it is too late. Remember our consistory. Give light and wisdom and courage in all these ways. In the darkness of the time in which we are living, oh Lord, remember our church and our churches. In all the difficulties, remember all those little flocks which are left, that remnant that there is also in this great country. And Lord, give us light also in this week where we are called again to make a decision for that congregation that had called us to come over and help them. Lord, was it thy way, reveal it unto us, and otherwise make us submissive to follow thee in the way that we have to go. Our life is not in our own hand, but it is all in thee, O Lord. We commend ourselves with our dear ones and with the whole congregation at the throne of grace. Remember us and bless us and visit us and forgive our shortcomings and sins, and that we meditate the word that we have heard, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 115, Expands the Heart, for streams of living water, so long as my soul, O living God, for thee. Number 115.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.